All the dogs, except 8, had been named. I do not know who had been responsible for some of the names, which seemed to represent a variety of tastes. They were as follows: Rugby, Upton, Bristol, Mill Hill, Songster, Sandy, Mac, Mercury, Wolf, Amundsen, Hercules, Hackenschmidt, Samson, Sammy, Skipper, Caruso, Sub, Ulysses, Spotty, Bosun, Slobbers, Sadie, Sut, Sally, Stumps, Snapper, Painful, Bob, Snowball, Jerry, Judge, Sooty, Rufus, Sidelights, Simeon, Swanker, Jurgwin, Steamer, Peter, Fluffy, Steward, Slippery, Elliot, Roy, Noel, Shakespeare, Jamie, Bummer, Smuts, Lupoid, Spider, and Sailor. Some of the names, it will be noticed, had a descriptive flavour. Heavy floes held up the ship from midnight till 6 a.m. on December 25th, Christmas Day. Then they opened a little and we made progress until 11:30 a.m. when the leads closed again. We had encountered good leads and workable ice during the early part of the night, and the noon observation showed that our run for the 24 hours was the best since we entered the pack a fortnight earlier. We had made 71 miles south, 4 degrees west. The ice held us up till the evening, and then we were able to follow some leads for a couple of hours before the tightly packed floes and the increasing wind compelled a stop. The celebration of Christmas was not forgotten. Grog was served at midnight to all on deck. There was grog again at breakfast, for the benefit of those who had been in their bunks at midnight. Lees had decorated the wardroom with flags and had a little Christmas present for each of us. Some of us had presents from home to open. Later, there was a really splendid dinner consisting of turtle soup, whitebait, jugged hare, Christmas pudding, mince pies, dates, figs, and crystallized fruits, with rum and stout as drinks. In the evening, everybody joined in a sing-song. Hussey had made a one-stringed violin, on which, in the words of Worsley, he discoursed quite painlessly. The wind was increasing to a moderate southeasterly gale, and no advance could be made, so we were able to settle down to the enjoyments of the evening. The weather was still bad on December 26th and 27th, and the Endurance remained anchored to a floe. The noon position on the 26th was latitude 65 degrees 43 minutes south, longitude 17 degrees 36 minutes west. We made another sounding on this day with the Lucas machine and found bottom at 2,819 fathoms. The specimen brought up was a terrigenous blue mud, glacial deposit, with some radiolaria. Everyone took turns at the work of heaving in, two men working together in 10-minute spells. Sunday, December 27th, was a quiet day aboard. The southerly gale was blowing the snow in clouds off the floe, and the temperature had fallen to 23 degrees Fahrenheit. The dogs were having an uncomfortable time in their deck quarters. The wind had moderated by the following morning, but it was squally with snow flurries, and I did not order a start until 11 p.m. The pack was still close, but the ice was softer and more easily broken. During the pause, the carpenter had rigged a small stage over the stern. A man was stationed there to watch the propeller and prevent it striking heavy ice, and the arrangement proved very valuable. It saved the rudder as well as the propeller from many blows. The high winds that had prevailed for 4.5 days gave way to a gentle southerly breeze in the evening of December 29th. Owing to the drift, we were actually 11 miles further north than we had been on December 25th. But we made fairly good progress on the 30th in fine, clear weather. The ship followed a long lead to the southeast during the afternoon and evening, and at 11 p.m. we crossed the Antarctic Circle. An examination of the horizon disclosed considerable breaks in the vast circle of pack ice, interspersed with bergs of different sizes. Leads could be traced in various directions, but I looked in vain for an indication of open water. The sun did not set that night, and as it was concealed behind a bank of clouds, we had a glow of crimson and gold to the southward, with delicate pale green reflections in the water of the lanes to the southeast. The ship had a serious encounter with the ice on the morning of December 31st. We were stopped first by floes closing around us, and then about noon the Endurance got jammed between two floes heading east-northeast. The pressure heeled the ship over 6 degrees while we were getting an ice anchor onto the floe in order to heave astern and thus assist the engines, which were running at full speed. The effort was successful. Immediately afterwards, at the spot where the Endurance had been held, slabs of ice 50 feet by 15 feet and 4 feet thick were forced 10 or 12 feet up on the ice floe at an angle of 45 degrees. The pressure was severe, and we were not sorry to have the ship out of its reach. The noon position was latitude 66 degrees 47 minutes south, longitude 15 degrees 52 minutes west, and the run for the preceding 24 hours was 51 miles south, 29 degrees east. Since noon, the character of the pack has improved, wrote Worsley on this day. Though the leads are short, the floes are rotten and easily broken through if a good place is selected with care and judgment. In many cases we find large sheets of young ice through which the ship cuts for a mile or 2 miles at a stretch. I have been conning and working the ship from the crow's nest and find it much the best place, as from there one can see ahead and work out the course beforehand, and can also guard the rudder and propeller, the most vulnerable parts of a ship in the ice. At midnight, as I was sitting in the tub, I heard a clamorous noise down on the deck, with ringing of bells, and realized that it was the New Year. Worsley came down from his lofty seat and met Wilde, Hudson, and myself on the bridge, where we shook hands and wished one another a happy and successful New Year. Since entering the pack on December 11th, we had come 480 miles through loose and close pack ice. We had pushed and fought the little ship through, and she had stood the test well, though the propeller had received some shrewd blows against hard ice, and the vessel had been driven against the floe until she had fairly mounted up on it and slid back, rolling heavily from side to side. The rolling had been more frequently caused by the operation of cracking through thickish young ice, where the crack had taken a sinuous course. The ship, in attempting to follow it, struck first one bilge and then the other, causing her to roll 6 or 7 degrees. Our advance through the pack had been in a south 10 degrees east direction, and I estimated that the total steaming distance had exceeded 700 miles. The first 100 miles had been through loose pack, but the greatest hindrances had been 3 moderate southwesterly gales, 2 lasting for 3 days each and 1 for 4.5 days. The last 250 miles had been through close pack, alternating with fine long leads and stretches of open water. During the weeks we spent manoeuvring to the south through the tortuous mazes of the pack, it was necessary often to split floes by driving the ship against them. This form of attack was effective against ice up to 3 feet in thickness, and the process is interesting enough to be worth describing briefly. When the way was barred by a floe of moderate thickness, we would drive the ship at half speed against it, stopping the engines just before the impact. At the first blow, the Endurance would cut a V-shaped nick in the face of the floe, the slope of her cutwater often causing her bows to rise till nearly clear of the water, when she would slide backwards, rolling slightly. Watching carefully that loose lumps of ice did not damage the propeller, we would reverse the engines and back the ship off 200 to 300 yards. She would then be driven full speed into the V, taking care to hit the center accurately. The operation would be repeated until a short dock was cut, into which the ship, acting as a large wedge, was driven. At about the fourth attempt, if it was to succeed at all, the floe would yield. A black, sinuous line, as though pen-drawn on white paper, would appear ahead, broadening as the eye traced it back to the ship. Presently it would be broad enough to receive her, and we would forge ahead. Under the bows and alongside, great slabs of ice were being turned over and slid back on the floe, or driven down and under the ice or ship. In this way, the Endurance would split a 2-foot to 3-foot floe a square mile in extent. Occasionally, the floe, although cracked across, would be so held by other floes that it would refuse to open wide, and so gradually would bring the ship to a standstill. We would then go astern for some distance and again drive her full speed into the crack, till finally the floe would yield to the repeated onslaughts.